Confidence: Overcoming Low Self-Esteem, Insecurity and Self-Doubt. Author: Thomas Chamorro Przemysik. The Confidence Competence Cycle. Whether you're keen to boost your career, social or health confidence, the procedure is always the same. Create visible improvements in your actual ability or state and internalize positive changes in your reputation. As you gain competence in whichever domain you wish, your performance will help to translate your competence gains into reputation. Thus, you consolidate your confidence gains by having your competence reorganized by others. If you get to this stage, your job is done, though you should be careful not to become too complacent. Indeed, if you're too satisfied with your competence, the confidence-competence cycle will begin in reverse. As soon as you feel confident, you'll reduce your preparation and stop gaining competence, which makes your performance more reliant on your confidence than on your competence, and your reputation more dependent on faking confidence and competence. The healthier alternative is to avoid complacency and keep working on your faults and imperfections while maximizing your strengths. Incompetent confidence. This is what most confident people have because their confidence is the product of delusional self-serving biases rather than actual competence. They therefore lack self-knowledge, which implies that they can't accurately understand how they're seen by others. The biggest problem with this profile is that it causes people to be self-deluded. If you think that the label of incompetent confidence is too harsh, think again. First, these people lack competence. Second, their high confidence exacerbates the negative consequences of low competence. Third, and most important, you will never develop knowledge unless you acknowledge what you don't know. The good news for people with incompetent confidence is that they can solve their problem quite easily by getting feedback from others. Realistic self-doubt. This is a much better alternative to incompetent confidence because you are aware of your weaknesses and limitations, which is crucial if you're planning to improve. In that sense, realistic self-doubt has two big advantages. First, it's coupled with self-knowledge, which reflects that you have an accurate understanding of how others see you. Second, it's a motivating force, because being dissatisfied with yourself is the best reason for wanting to improve. Perfectionistic self-criticism. Many exceptional achievers fit this profile, which is why they become exceptional achievers in the first place. Think about it. If you reach the point of being confident about your achievements, why continue strive for self-improvement or further accomplishments? In reality, though, the only self-defeating element about this profile is that it promotes oneself's insecurities, but the effects on competence couldn't be more beneficial. In fact, when you're your own worst critic, you stand a much better chance of developing competence than when you're your biggest fan. Thus, the only recommendation for this profile is to hide your insecurities, because even if you're competent, displaying your insecurities to others could encourage them to mistake your low confidence for low competence. Realistic confidence. Finally, this profile combines high levels of confidence with high levels of competence. This profile represents the logical person's ideal state, and there's nothing wrong with that. However, being aware of one's competence incurs the risk of being pleased with oneself first and then becoming complacent. The big advice for people with this profile is to avoid becoming complacent. Otherwise, they may end up falling down to the incompetent confidence quadrant. Stagnation in skill development leads to others becoming better while you rest on your laurels, until you wake up one day and realize that you're not as good as you thought you were, if you ever wake up. Taking advantage of low confidence. You feel anxious and worried when you're lacking confidence, so you pay attention to important adaptive signals and inhibit your behavior. And yet, our narcissistic world has persuaded us to look at low confidence as a drag. We don't think of its causes or consequences. We focus instead on the uncomfortable feelings and thoughts it evokes: worry, tension, anxiety, and even panic. But these sensations have a purpose, namely to prevent negative outcomes. These feelings would help you realize that unless you prepare, you're destined to fail and embarrass yourself in front of your audience. How to use low social confidence to enhance your social competence. 1. Pessimistic realism. Confident people systematically overestimate how socially skilled they are. Conversely, people who are not assertive in social situations tend to be realistic about their skills deficit. Therefore, the first benefit conferred by low social confidence is the ability to accurately assess your social competence. 2. Motivation. Social anxiety is not just a realistic signal that forces you to focus on your behavior to avoid making catastrophic impressions on others. It's also a driving force that motivates you to prepare, improve, and minimize embarrassment ahead of daunting or challenging events. When you anticipate potential social failure, for example, prior to an interview, exam, business meeting, or presentation, all of which threaten your status with others, there is really only one coherent plan of action. Prepare, prepare, and prepare. Given that your low social confidence is likely to be an accurate reflection of your low social competence, it will drive social competence gains. When improvement goals are motivated by self-critical realism, people are much better positioned to boost their competence than when they lack self-criticism and are indifferent to failure. Early childhood experiences determine your social confidence. Sigmund Freud is credited with the idea that most of our adult behaviors are rooted in our early childhood experiences. This idea has clear implications for our understanding of social confidence. The tendency to be hyper-alert to negative social outcomes, just like the opposite tendency to be fearless in social situations, develops at a very young age and cannot easily be changed after adolescence. It's one of the most compelling facts in psychology, and there's no reason to be dramatic about it. Turning your low social confidence into high social competence. There are only three fundamental elements of social competence. These are valid everywhere, at any point in time. First, social competence requires the ability to read people, exercising what some psychologists call social knowledge. If you lack social knowledge, then you can't understand people, what they're doing, why they do what they do, why they mean when they say what they say, and you will struggle to function in any social situation. Second, social competence involves successful self-presentation. More specifically, people with good social skills know how to create a desired impression, and they do it. Third, and most important, social competence involves the ability to influence others. Put simply, to get others to do what you want. This third element is hardly ever possible unless you conquer the first two. Final thoughts. When meaning depends on constructing an artificial account of ourselves in order to make ourselves feel better about our failures, then bad things are bound to occur. It's low confidence that acts as the source of success. People would start each day being better prepared. There'd be fewer arguments and fewer mistakes. Indeed, many of the major global disasters of the past few decades, which have been attributed to confidence excess, might never have happened. In line, the world would be a more competent place if we could lower people's confidence. Inferiority motivates us to try to achieve things. The more weaknesses you perceive in yourself, the more you'll be motivated to improve, and the harder you will work.